Hello everyone and welcome to Words on a Wedding, the podcast that sees me, your host Annie Vischer, interview my wonderful guests about their big day. Together we talk all things proposals, planning, the ceremony, the reception, the honeymoon and beyond. No wedding related stone is left unturned. So whether you're planning your own wedding, you simply love wedding chat, or like me, you're a newlywed who just can't let it go, hit subscribe on Words on a Wedding, play on the episode and get stuck in. This episode of Words on a Wedding is sponsored by Pentire, the name behind a much lauded collection of non-alcoholic spirits, all made with botanicals native to the Cornish coastline. Appropriately romantic, wouldn't you say? When you're planning your wedding, the hunt for alcohol-free drinks options can end up being frustratingly short-lived. Now, I'm as big a fan of Elderflower Pressé as the next bride, but there is nothing wrong with demanding something a little more unique for your big day, a drink that levels up to the sense of occasion. Pentire's range of alcohol-free beverages gives you the opportunity to play, to mull together an exciting flight of cocktails or tall thirst quenchers that look as good as they taste. Let's not forget about those wedding pictures. From Pentire's original spritzers to their new margarita and blood orange aperitif, which sparkles bright carnelian in ice-laden balloon glasses, the opportunities to impress are endless. Visit www.pentiredrinks.com to shop the range and follow at pentiredrinks on Instagram for a constant supply of serving suggestions and inspiration. So my guest today, guys, is Sarah Chapman, model, influencer, self-confessed bookworm and mother to Margot. Thank you so much for joining me today, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
I can't wait to talk all about your wedding. Are you still loving talking about it?
Yeah, I feel like because we went straight from getting married to we've had this whole big house renovation project, which has been kind of 2 years worth. And we kind of got married, came home and moved straight back home. We've kind of like surpassed talking about the wedding. So it's actually really nice when people ask me about it because I kind of like, it's almost like I forgot that it happened. I went from one crazy thing to another. So yeah, I love talking about all things wedding.
Good job you're on the pod then.
Yeah.
I'm going to rewind it right back to talk about, I mean, for those of the listeners who don't know, to talk about who you married, how you met and the proposal. Talk me through all of that.
So my husband is Jim Chapman, YouTuber, internet sensation. and we actually met on a dating app, which is called Raya, which is like an internet, people can't see this on the podcast, but I'm about to say celebrity with the like hyphens because I am clearly not famous and I definitely wasn't then.
I didn't know you met on Raya.
Yeah, a friend of mine knew the app developer and it was like before Raya became a thing. And he was asking people that were models, so shallow, was asking models to go on the app to kind of test it and look like there were lots of people on it. And my favorite thing in the evening with one of my best friends that lived with me at the time, we would just scroll and be like, oh my God, there's such and such on there. And it was like, and I think you're only allowed to see like 10 profiles and then it locks you out. So we would just see like who's on it and just kind of fascinated. And then however many years later, I matched with Jim, having never been on a date off the app. I just thought it was fun to see who was on there. Matched with Jim, chatted and actually had quite a lot in common. So he was my first date. And Jim had recently come out of a really long relationship and a marriage and a divorce. And I was his first date. So we were each other's first date, kind of like, I'm not really interested. Let's just see what happens. And then we moved in together like 3 months later. So the rest is history.
Oh, I love that. So talk me through the proposal. Sort of you've had your first dates. It's obviously going well. Cut to when? How many years later or how long later?
So I think we'd been together about 18 months. So everything moved very quickly for us. And I think a huge factor in that was COVID and the pandemic, which I think is probably the case for so many couples up and down the country. You kind of, it's quite make or break. I mean, poor Jim, we moved in with my mum and dad. He's like in with the in-laws after a year living there. And so crazy, like you think of those first few weeks of the pandemic, like I remember thinking like, are we gonna die? What's happening? Is this it? And it was really intense. And that's quite a lot to kind of put on a couple, I think. But we came out of it stronger. I just love spending time together. And then we also both have jobs where you're around a lot. So it's not a normal 9 to 5 where he'd go to the office or I'd go to the office and we'd come back together in the evenings. We spent so much time together all the time, which again, I think your relationship's really under a microscope. You're either going to kill each other or flourish. And I think that's really like worked for us. And we found we have kind of similar values and we operate in a similar way. And I'm in his office right now doing this podcast, but he often will take himself away to the office and he'll sit and do his own thing. And I might be downstairs reading a book or cooking or doing what, going to see my friends. And we kind of had our own lives, but the same life. And then, I don't know, it just felt really natural to come together that way.
Just a nice balance.
Yeah. And then during lockdown, we lived with my parents and he asked my dad, I think I'm going to ask Sarah to marry me. And then, but he knew that he wanted to ask when we were on holiday, when we were in Spain, because Spain's quite a special place to me, actually where we got married. And he knew that's where he wanted to ask me, but obviously it's COVID and they kept like changing the rules. So I think he had the ring for like 6 months before he asked me, because he was like, oh,
wow,
can't go.
Oh God. But I guess it was for so many people's like kind of make or break at that stage. If you're kind of midway through a relationship, you pretty much knew if you'd made it through that was it, right?
Yeah, I was talking to someone the other day, I can't remember who it was, and they said that they moved in with their boyfriend in lockdown and they'd only been with their boyfriend for 2 weeks, but they were on like a trip away, like a weekend away somewhere, and the lockdown orders came in, and because obviously it's so crazy, everyone was like, what's going to happen? And they were near this girl's parents. They just went to her parents. Like, imagine being like a 2-week-old relationship, like, hi.
Oh my goodness. That's next level.
But 3 years later, they're together, they're like engaged, they're married, getting married. So it obviously worked, but it is like crazy.
Wow. I mean, they came out the right side of it, but wow, that's intense.
Yeah. I need to remember who it is. That needs to come on. She needs to come on the podcast.
She needs to come
She's
on the podcast.
Way more interesting.
No. But speaking of interesting bits, talk me through this proposal. I love proposal stories. I can't hear enough of them.
Do you know what? In my head, I'm such a like my some of my favourite movies are things like When Harry Met Sally and like all the classic like 80s, 90s rom-coms.
All the Nora Ephron rom-coms, yeah.
Yeah, all the Nora Ephron ones. And I was like, this is how my proposal's going to be. And it wasn't. I think you also have to like accept the person that you're with, and that's just not Jim. And it couldn't have been more Jim, in that we got to the hotel, we couldn't like check in straight away, so we were kind of chilling by the pool while I was reading my book, went back, finally got to our room, unpacked our bags, and it was obviously burning a hole in his pocket, because I literally like unpacked my bags, I turned around and he was there on one knee. And was like, I feel like he just spat it out. Will you be my wife? If he was in the room right now, he would swear blind that he said a really nice few things like, oh, I love you so much. I'm confident that he just kind of shouted at me like, please be my wife. But it was actually, you know, it was so lovely. We were at this really, really beautiful resort in Mallorca called Cap Rocat, which is like this old fortress. We had this really lovely room, and it was just like this it was just really like a special time, just us. And then we kind of, I think we told like 2 or 3 of our friends, and just in like just had a really lovely holiday and just time the two of us. And I actually think, knowing my husband, like even at the wedding, he's not like a crier, he's not one to like do lots of words. That's just not how he shows his love. He's more of a, like, for him that was a really big thing, like, I'm gonna take you away, I'm gonna do a big gesture. And I think sometimes that's also part of realizing like a successful marriage is knowing the person that you're with and not having these expectations of, he was never gonna fill a room full of roses and have this long speech. That's just not him. But he had designed my ring and found a jeweler and like remembered something I'd said ages ago about how I wanted my ring to look. So it was like exactly the ring I wanted. No, it was just really like, it was really thoughtful, but in like a really understated way.
Yeah, I love this. And also Cap Rocat is like, that's a pretty bona fide wedding venue, isn't it? Like, I've seen a few weddings there. That's incredible, that place.
Yeah, we did. We talked about like, would we want to get married here? But it's like, it is fancy.
Yeah.
And it's so like, it's so nice, but very fancy. And I think our wedding, we knew we would have a lot of kids there, and we just wanted everyone to be super relaxed. And we were like, this is quite fancy. Maybe we'll go somewhere a bit more low key so the kids can just run riot. But it is, it's like the most, one of the most gorgeous places I've ever been.
It's stunning. Did you speak about, you obviously away when Jim proposed, did you start speaking about what you wanted out of a wedding at that point? Did you start doing sort of little bits of planning then?
We got home and again, COVID rules. So when we got home, Spain had just been put on an amber list.
Right, yeah.
So we had to quarantine. Oh. So we had then like 2 weeks where we couldn't see anyone to like celebrate. We were just stuck at home. But we were like, well, we've got nothing to do. Let's kind of do some research and chat about like wedding planning. So we started looking at venues. And that was actually the moment, I think we decided our venue, booked our venue in those 2 weeks. And we're like, right, that's it.
Oh my goodness.
We just kind of went, we just went for it, which was actually like, because to me, I said I really wanted to get married at home. And my parents live in the Cotswolds. My parents got married at this tiny little church, which is like a 5 minute walk from my parents' house. And I was christened there. My brother was christened there. We always go to like midnight mass at Christmas and all the village goes, it's like really cute. And I thought, oh, I'll get married there, get married in the Cotswolds. And receptions were just, it was so expensive and also so hard to get availability. And I kind of thought, it just didn't, I don't know, something about it just didn't feel right. And then we looked at Spain because Jim said, well, Spain is where you also, I grew up between Spain and the Cotswolds. And he was like, well, Spain feels like home as well. Why don't we look at Spanish venues? And then we saw these pictures of a wedding shot at the venue that we went for. And we were like, right, that's it. Let's go for it. To be fair, the deposit was like €400. So it wasn't like a really expensive gamble.
That's unheard of. For
a deposit in terms of weddings. We were like, let's just go for it and hope that it's okay.
Yeah, for a wedding in the Cotswolds, you'd pay 10 times that in a deposit at least.
It was insane. There was one venue that, and they actually reached out to Jim on Instagram and they were like, please have your wedding with us. And he was like, oh, that's funny, like you're on our top five list. And he came and said to me, oh, this venue has reached out. I'm guessing they might want to offer a discount because that's what they tend to do if they've like reached out to you as an influencer. And they quoted us £50,000.
Oh my goodness. Oh, it's just, it's a crazy industry.
I'm not going to say the venue, but I was like, absolutely not.
I mean, and that was that with discount?
No, it was because, they said it was because the only weekend they had free, in their defense, the only weekend they had free that also suited us was a bank holiday weekend in August. So they were like, it's our most expensive weekend. Yeah. Historically, we've sold out. We're just going to push the prices up. And they were quite open about it. But yeah. I was like, that seems extortionate.
Yeah, I think this last year, the prices have been crazy because there's been sort of a bumper, a lot of people getting married post-pandemic, I think, because they couldn't do it the years before. So I've definitely witnessed that myself. But it's interesting hearing that. But I cannot believe the deposit for your actual venue was £400. That's insane.
A lot of stuff in Spain, it's really fascinating to me that some things were much cheaper than they would be in the UK and other things were much more expensive, but there were certain things some things they like really weren't fussed about and other things were really expensive. So if I had got my hair done, actually my hairdresser came out, but if I had chosen to have my hair done by a local hairdresser, it would have been 4 or 5 times the price than a hairdresser doing it in the UK. But then things like food is much cheaper and you get quite a lot more. I found that really fascinating. And I guess a lot of it's trend led as well. So there were things that we had Spanish wedding planners and there was a trend for dry ice. And they were like, how can we incorporate dry ice into the wedding? And I was like, I don't really want any dry ice. And they were like, maybe we'll have an ice cream cart that goes around and makes the ice cream with like liquid nitrogen. And I was like, I don't know that I really want that. I'm kind of going for something more low key. And they were like, no, it's really popular. It's so cool at the moment. And it was very interesting. Whereas maybe it's like their version of like the photo booth. Because we mentioned a photo booth and they were like, no one really does that. And I was like, dry ice, yes, but a photo booth, no.
I find that so interesting. That's fascinating.
And they did work. And they did work in dry ice in the end. They did. No, wow. I just remembered. And we had this really lovely dessert called torija, which is like a traditional civilian. It's kind of like bread, kind of like bread and butter pudding, maybe.
Oh, delightful! I'm here for that.
I mean, if a Spaniard's listening to this, they'll say I've butchered what it actually is, but I guess that's probably the closest to it. And they came in these like kilner jars that, as they opened the jar, like kind of dry ice smoked out, and I was like, "You snap that dry ice in there."
You opened your dessert, and you're like, "Uh huh." You got it.
I was like, definitely didn't really agree on that, but okay.
Gosh, okay, one to look out for if you're having a Spanish wedding. Be okay with dry ice. Love that.
Yeah.
And then I'm obsessed with your wedding dress. And for those of you who haven't stalked Sarah's Instagram for all her wedding details, I highly advise you do. Because everything about sort of the journey of you finding that dress, the Savannah Miller dress, was incredible. Talk me through that.
Oh my goodness. She is just like, I guess if you're listening to this podcast, you've either been married or you're getting married. So you kind of know that the dress, there's something like so special about it that you feel like sometimes like the rest of the wedding kind of fits around the dress, like Carrie in Sex and the City when she just goes, well, it's the dress. You kind of there's such a huge thing about the dress. So to have someone design that for you, it has to be a really like a safe and special person to do it. And there's something about Savannah and her team that I cannot imagine another person doing it. She just like, she understood how important it was and like the significance of it, and was just such a like dream to work with. And essentially I went wedding dress shopping with my mom, and I tried on what I thought I wanted, which is I thought I wanted this Berta dress, which was like kind of like a glitter bomb. It was like huge, covered in sequins. And my mum was like, it's gorgeous, but it's just not you. Like, you're quite low state, like kind of low key. You're quite, that's not a thing. And that's a really statement dress. And that's not really your nature. But I mean, if you want it, go for it. And she made me try this dress on. Like, I really didn't want to. I was like, no, that's the dress I want. And she was like, please just put it on for me. And I put it on and was like, oh, the mum is always right. And it was Savannah Miller's Alma dress. And I tried it on, and they pinned it really, really tight. And it kind of, it's got this like ribbon that ties at the back, and they tied it really tight and pinned it really tight. And I was like, I wonder if I could kind of take bits that I like of the Berta dress and have this dress like tight and kind of corseted at the top. So I got in touch with Savannah and was like, I love your dress, but I kind of want to pimp it. And she then said, that's really funny that you've got in touch, because she's just started doing bespoke dresses. So she did, I think, 4 or 5 bespoke dresses this year, and it was like her first set of doing this. Like, she does just from start to finish. They do sketches, they chat to you about it, and it was really good timing that she was like, amazing, you've got in touch, because we've just started this new bespoke service. And it was, yeah, just amazing.
And so what, you had like a few fittings and you added things here and there, and it was a real sort of collaborative experience, was it?
Kind of. So, yeah. So we started with just a Zoom chat where I said what I liked. And then I sent like a Pinterest board with a load of wedding dresses of things I liked. And then we had another Zoom chat, and we kind of went through like, well, why do you like that dress? What do you like about that one? So we pulled together some ideas, and then Savannah went away, did some sketches. And then, I don't know, 2 or 3 days later, I had an email with like 7 different ideas. And I was like, oh my God, I love every single one. And then we had another Zoom where we kind of decided which sketch we liked. But from that moment, I think I was quite like, that's the dress, that's the one. And I mean, I hope Savannah would say I was quite easy to work with. But I think I was kind of quite set on what I wanted and how I wanted it to look. And then we had this corseted with like a built-in corset and bust on the top, and then it was kind of cut on the bias and like floaty at the bottom, which was really like a mishmash of 2 dresses, which it took a lot of fittings to get the cups of the bust to kind of subtly, because obviously you kind of need some structure around. Yes. I realize I'm on a podcast and I'm trying to show you it as I'm doing.
Yeah, but structure around the bodice. Yeah,
you need some kind of structure around the bodice. But I was also saying, like, but I like it backless. and then I like this ribbon and I like this. And she was like, you can't, that just can't be done.
But right.
It was done and they made it work and it was, yeah, it was amazing.
It looked absolutely stunning. And then how do you go about hitting on the perfect sort of hair and makeup for that whole look? Did you get your dress sorted and decide what hair you wanted, or was it sort of vice versa?
So as you mentioned at the start, I'm a model and I have modelled so much bridal, like ridiculous amounts of bridal. And so I was probably one of the most annoying people to go into a bridal boutique ever, because I went in and went, not that. No, I don't like that. No, I don't like that. That's really uncomfortable. And they must have thought I was such a brat. I was like explaining to them all, like, no, I've tried them on. Because there are some styles that you think that looks amazing, but then you might try it on and it just doesn't feel comfortable. But often in a boutique, you're only really wearing it for 5 or 10 minutes. It's really hard to get a full picture of how that will be on the day. So I think I'm quite lucky that having got to model it for longer than 5 minutes, you really get an idea. But that meant I also had seen hair and makeup, and I knew I just wanted this really relaxed, kind of a bit boho vibe. So I had 5 hours of hair extensions worth put in, which my hair's tied up now, but I do still have them in. They've been moved back up because I've had them in for so long because I love them.
What type did you have?
I had from a brand called Raccoon, and they are, I'm trying to think, you'll know better as a beauty editor.
Is it tape or is tapes. It bonded?
It's bonded, that's it, it's bonded. Yeah. Like all tiny individual ones put in, because I'd had my hair cut for a job maybe 2 or 3 months before the wedding, but they cut quite a lot off and I was gutted. And then I did another job with the lovely Darren Fowler, was my hairdresser on the job, and I was telling him, I was like, it's fine, I'll just do something else. I mean, it wasn't really my dream hair, but it's fine, like I'm marrying my dream man, I don't mind. And he was like,
oh, you're so good.
You will look the way you want to do. And he took my number, and I actually didn't think much of it, and he took my number, he messaged me like 2 days later and he said, I've called in the hair, I've worked out how we're going to do it, I've got some time in my diary. If you can find 5 hours to sit in my salon while I do it, I'll put the hair extensions in and I will also come out to Seville and do your hair on your wedding day. And not only did he do my hair, he also did all my niece's hair so that they all looked kind of like similar to me. It was honestly, he was just gorgeous.
What an absolute hero.
Yeah, saved the day. So I had these, I had two braids kind of going kind of tucked into my veil and then just really loose waves.
Wow, it looked stunning. I mean, well worth those 5 hours.
Yeah. And then my makeup, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I didn't have makeup trial or anything, but both my sisters-in-law are famous makeup artists, and I just said, would one of you do my makeup? And they were like, yeah, sure, whoever you want. I was like, I don't mind. I know you'd have to bring all your kit out to Spain, so whichever one of you doesn't mind bringing your kit out. And Jim has two sisters and a twin brother, and one of the sisters did the twin brother's wife's makeup.
Yes.
If you're following. So then the other sister was like, okay, you did Rosie's, I'll do yours.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, the jobs get shared around.
Yeah, they were kind of like, well, so Jim's sister Nick did my makeup. And we honestly, I was just like, everything you do is gorgeous. I don't mind. Whatever.
Oh, you're so good.
I was so chilled. But I think I just, because I knew that she was super skilled. I knew that she, like, we shared a few pictures beforehand. So she kind of had an idea of what kit to bring. So she was like, there's no point me bringing, you know, tons of smoky eyes. If you don't want smoky eye stuff, I'm not going to bring those products. So we had like a very, very top line chat before she came out. And I said, I really love Charlotte Tilbury. I quite like they do these really gorgeous eyes to mesmerize pots. And I wear them all the time at home. And I was like, I want to kind of look like me, but better.
Yeah.
So her doing it for me, I was like, so that kind of thing. And I showed her like how I look normally. And she was like, okay, I know what to bring. And then I just let her do her thing.
Amazing. I love the kind of family sort of inflection on that. I love that. And now talk me through your actual wedding day, you know, from the morning of to the end of the day. Any particular memories that stick in your mind?
Oh, it was just like the most lovely, like really chilled out day, which is what we wanted. So because we got married in Spain, in Seville, in the 1st of September, it was maybe 30 plus degrees. It was really hot. Oof. So we didn't have the actual ceremony until 5 o'clock, which even then all of the Spaniards involved were like, these English people are crazy. But that was because we wanted our daughter Margot to be there, and she was just coming up to one, and we knew that she wouldn't really last much longer if we kind of had a really late night. So we started at about 5 so that she could kind of last an hour or two before she had to go to bed. But that meant we had like a really long, basically the whole day of just being there. I didn't have any bridesmaids. I just wanted my nieces. So I have 2 nieces and Jim has 2, so which are also now mine. So we had 4 girls, all under the age of 7, who all came to my room in the morning with me, and we all got ready together, which I think, and then my mum was there, and my sister-in-law Rosie, and Nick, my other sister-in-law. And yeah, it was just like, it's not for everyone, you know. A lot of people would rather have their best friends and all their girlfriends, but I'm a real family person. I wanted my family with me, and I wanted the girls. And we put Disney on, I think we put Moana on, so they kind of like, they were watching Moana while also individually having their makeup done. I mean, I say makeup lightly. The youngest is 3, so she just had like fake makeup.
Oh,
and then
so
they had
sweet.
Their hair done by Darren, and they all had these dresses, which I had made specially to kind of, I'd had these silk dresses hand painted to look really similar to this dress I'd had as a girl. So we all kind of got ready together, and then because I wanted like an hour to myself without the carnage of children, I arranged for them to go to the wedding venue in a horse and carriage. So Seville is really famous for the horses and carriages, so we booked one to take them to the venue, which was just, they were like, wow, beside themselves.
I'm not surprised. That's full-on Disney carriage ride.
Yeah, so I was like, that was quite nice, because I went in the car, but it's only a 5-minute car ride, so they had to leave quite a lot earlier to go on this carriage ride to get there. But they thought it was the best thing ever. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's horses. And they were like, and then my dad came to get me, and they were like, Granddad, Sarah's only going in the car, and we've got a horse to take us there. And they thought it was just like the best thing ever. But actually, I was like, oh yeah, good. Like, now I can have a bit of peace. And then I just had like a quiet moment, just me and my dad. And I wore my grandmother's pearls because she wasn't very well and she couldn't make it out there. And she gave them to my sister to bring over for me. So that was really sweet. Like, just me and my dad having like a little quiet minute, and he put them on for me. And then, yeah, then we went to the venue, and it was just really, really, really laid back, relaxed. We kept the ceremony really short because it was hot and we'd already legally been married, so it was just more of a symbolic. Our best friend married us, and then we did our vows, and we just kind of got straight to the party.
I love that. And partied right through to the night?
No, not really. I think if we hadn't had Margot, our daughter, with us, we probably would have partied a lot longer. But because my parents took her for the night, maybe Jim's mum. How bad? I can't even remember. Someone
yes,
had my child.
A sign of
one
a good
of the
night.
Grandparents had, one of the grandparents had Margot for the night. I think it was my parents had her. So we knew that we didn't, you know, we could have stayed up, but we were tired because we'd still had her all the other nights beforehand. And also we kind of, I think we went to bed at like 1:30, 2-ish. We were quite happy with that.
That's
we were like,
quite good going.
We've done good enough stint.
Oh, 100%. I think that's very good going. I'm such an old lady now. Like, I was sort of creeping up towards midnight, and I was like, oh God, I'm nearly done now.
But didn't your wedding start much earlier? So you've been going for a long time.
True. It was a 1 p.m.
I really
ceremony.
Only had to start going from 5 in the afternoon. And I really probably should have held out a bit longer. But the venue was still there. There were still people on the dance floor. It didn't stop because we left.
I love that though. Like, you must have felt so great just kind of leaving on a high and then knowing that everybody else was going to enjoy it for another few hours.
Yeah, I saw my young brother so hungover the next day by the pool, and I was like, what time did you go to bed? And he's like, I don't know, but pizza came out at 3 a.m. so I just stayed.
Oh my God.
I was like, okay. Yeah, he's got a bit more energy.
I know. God, I mean, with my full admiration, but I don't think I'd have stuck around for pizza. I don't know that I do love pizza. Anyway,
we took our wedding cake home with us though.
How?
That's memorable. The venue said to us, they were like, your wedding cake, we can't, what are you going to do with it? And we looked at all of our guests that were remaining and I was like, my drunk brothers are not going to deal with this. And we hadn't cut the cake. So we had like 4 tiers of a civilian orange, really lovely cake. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? So I got a taxi, we got a taxi home to our hotel and I carried in a box, like on a plate, my wedding cake on my lap. From the venue, because I insisted on taking this cake. And Jim was like, just leave the cake. I was like, I'm not leaving this cake. I really want the cake. And then the next day, then we kind of came into our hotel and I like, in thankfully I speak Spanish. And I said to the hotel, I was like, would you mind cutting this cake up and like leaving it in your fridge? And then the next morning we took it to all the guests at the pool, but they were like, where did this cake come from?
God, well done you. That serious post planning and dedication to the cause as well.
It was dedication as well.
And did you go on honeymoon straight after?
We did, and we have been renovating our house. So first it was our daughter's birthday, like 3 days after the wedding. So we must come home and celebrate her first birthday. And then we moved back home into this. We had this like 6 month long renovation. And then, I don't know, we just got home and we're just really loving. We've been out of our house for so long. I don't really want to leave. And then it's coming up to Christmas. And I think we can't agree. Jim wants to go on honeymoon with Margot because he can't bear leaving her. They're like, at the moment she cries for dad. They are best friends. As much as I hate to say it, he is the favourite. So they can't bear to be apart. Whereas I'd rather go and leave her with Jim's mum, leave her with my mum and dad and go away for 4 or 5 days. But I think maybe in the new year, we might go somewhere in Europe for 3 or 4 days and just leave her and have a little break. But your honeymoon looked amazing. You were like multi-destination hopping.
Yeah, it was a bit extra and we went straight after the wedding. So it all kind of blurred into one. And then because when we got back, our wedding was still felt like summer. It was in September and then we went away on honeymoon to sort of hot places and then we got back and it dipped into winter. It felt like entering a whole new life. It was really weird.
Yeah,
it was nice. So how do you feel when you look back on your wedding day now? What does it make you feel?
Oh, it was just like the most lovely time with all of our family and like our closest family and friends. And it was just like, I just feel so warm thinking about it. And it was exactly the day I wanted it to be. Like, there was nothing, it wasn't really extra, although I guess my nieces in their horse and carriage would probably say otherwise. Yeah, it just feels like this really relaxed, like lovely day with family, which was like, it was exactly what we wanted. Like, I think as well for a lot of people, like, so my sister is 10 years older than me and she had a really big wedding kind of on the outskirts of Liverpool in like a big country house, and she had a huge dress and it was like, it was this amazing big day. But that's just like not my vibe at all, which, you know, everyone has what suits them. And I think when I look back, I think that was me and Jim as a couple, like family is really important.
Yeah.
And being with like our really close friends, we didn't want 200 people in this like venue. We just wanted a really small thing. And I think it summed up who we are. And we had so much food, which was also really important to us, and so much alcohol, which was also really important to us. So yeah, I look back and I'm like, that was exactly just the best day.
Oh, it looked absolutely incredible. I keep seeing more wedding pictures coming through when I look on Instagram and they're just incredible.
Yeah, it takes so long to get wedding pictures. It takes so long to get back, but then it's actually really nice because then you get like 2 months later, you get like the full drop and it's like so nice to see them all. I've seen you've had all your disposables come through and it's actually nice to kind of like delay that, and it kind of keeps the enjoyment going.
Exactly. I dropped another few cameras off today. We picked them up from my parents. I'm excited. Snappy Snaps will deliver.
Yeah. I'm sure. I wish we got disposables because I think that's really nice to have like the guests take pictures.
They're so expensive to develop though. I dropped four off and they were like £60 to develop. It was mad. But I would say worth it. Yeah. So we have a bit at the end called listeners' questions, but obviously, as I say in every episode, this is series one, and we're pre-recording every episode. So I have canvassed my lovely friends and acquaintances for particular questions. So my first one to you, Sarah, is: I find the thought of wedding dress shopping overwhelming. Where do I start? What would be your advice?
Well, I would do, like, if you could, but I mean, this is just what worked for me. I would do like 3 boutiques all in one day, not necessarily with the means of buying them. So I went to 2 or 3 that were all in one day that were really close together. And I knew that I wasn't going to buy anything. One of them was like a really expensive boutique. And I was like, I can't afford any of these dresses. Whether it's a high-end dress or a low-end dress, it's the same shape. You're kind of getting the same shape, whether it's like a fishtail or it's cut on the bias or a corset top. So I tried on a lot just to get a feel of like what style of dress I wanted. And then once I hit on Savannah Miller really early on, but I think once you kind of know, like for me, if I hadn't chosen that dress, I would have known like I want quite a laid back boho vibe. So then I would have looked at all the boutiques that stocked that style of dress and kind of gone from there. But I think, yeah, start with like a few in one day, regardless of budget. You're not going to buy, you're just going to see what suits you.
That's such a good tip. So immerse yourself and then you'll have a better idea after that day, and then you can kind of go from there, and you might have come across one you love already. If not, you'll have much more of a better idea of what to go for and then sort of act on after that, I guess.
Yeah, like I think it can feel quite intimidating, that kind of pretty woman, like, why are you shopping here? But actually, like, who cares? You're with for me, it was just my mum. Because of COVID, you could only have one person. But now you could be with like a whole group of people. So just go, have a lovely day, try loads on, and just like make the most of it.
That's such a great tip. And the second question, do you have any top tips for planning an abroad wedding?
Oh my goodness, get planners. Absolutely. Our planners saved my bacon so many times. They were amazing. Especially planners that can speak the language. I do speak Spanish, but my Spanish is nowhere near as good as a local's, and they have the local knowledge, and they were just brilliant. And obviously, because they've worked there for so long, a lot of vendors, like Spain's COVID rules were really different to the UK's. So at one point we had to change our wedding date, and I was trying to explain on the phone to the venue, like, I can't make it. I can't leave the country. They were a little bit grumpy about it, and they were kind of like, well, in Spain we can make it. And I understood from a business perspective, they were saying, well, I could fill this venue with a load of Spaniards, so why does it matter that you can't make it? Like, you have to honor the date. And our planners came in, fixed it all for me, rang me, and they were like, yeah, we've changed the date, no worries. And I think that really helps to have like local boots on the ground, but also to take the stress out of the day. Like, there was nothing I had to think of, and they sorted it all. Even like, oh, so bad, the stress of doing table seating, because we had a few dropouts like two days before the wedding. We had a few people drop out, so we had to rejig our whole table setting, which meant that I forgot Jim's sister and her husband on our table seating. And I was mortified that I'd forgot them. And they're not, like, in the wedding pictures, they're actually not on the board. Like, you could see all the family apart from them, because I forgot.
Oh no.
Our planners spotted it before we did, and they went and found Nick and Ian quietly, and they were like, they haven't forgotten you, we know where you're supposed to be sat, they just, like, there's been a lot going on, don't worry. And they sorted it out. We had no idea.
Oh, okay, that is a top tip, planners. And because for a lot of people it feels like an absolute luxury and sort of a real kind of, but you'd say it's 100% worth it, especially if you're having an abroad wedding.
Yeah, although I think a lot of planners now also offer like day off planning, so they don't necessarily do it from start to finish, but they just do it on the day. And that's also really helpful, because then they take over, like I said, like that mishap, they will take that over. So there's a lot of things that you don't see that they just do it for you, and it's just like seamless.
Amazing. And we have come to the end of our fabulous episode. Thank you so much for joining me, Sarah. That's been an absolute pleasure to talk through your wedding.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to Words on a Wedding. If you like the episode, please subscribe if you haven't already, and follow @WordsOnAWedding on Instagram, where you'll find guest wedding photos and much, much more. Have a great week.